This is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vasquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vasquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, Blueberry, and Stitcher Radio. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So, we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vasquez, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, episode number 366. Yeah, a podcast that puts it all together, that connects the dots between the ancient and the contemporary, between the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual. In fact, we look at life through one of the most ancient of all spiritual lenses, namely Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. This Armadox look is yours for the taking. So sit back and relax, and if you're ready, I know I am, let's take the next step. Can you believe it? 366. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that we are completing our 7th year of podcasting. 7 years of putting together The Next Step every week. Without exception, we've broadcast from Armenia, from Argentina, on the road, from Arizona. Yes, you remember those podcasts. What a wild ride this has been. And I want to start off by doing a big shout out to everyone who's been along for the ride. Thank you so much for being a member of this Next Step journey. And if you're just joining us today, well, I'm glad you're with us. You know, some people are running, some people are walking, some people are crawling, but in any case, it is the next step wherever you may happen to be in that big spectrum of walking, running, whatever means of transportation you have. We're on a journey, the journey of life, and we've been inspecting it, looking at it, connecting dots between all the beautiful things that happen in life. Sometimes, tragedies do occur, but in those tragedies, we find means to continue. Just as we always remember in our Christian faith, we have the crucifixion, but it was just a few days later that crucifixion became the event known as Good Friday. It's a good event because in retrospect, when you look at it from the vantage point of resurrection, you look at it and you say, wow, without that crucifixion, I wouldn't have gotten to this resurrection. And I know we do this all the time. It's called rationalization. It's called survival. It's a basic survival mechanism that we have built into us to find that goodness. And why not? You gotta look for it because you're always gonna be up against these crucifixions. I think this is one of the things that unites us as humankind, right? We look at life and, not all of us can relate to resurrection, but guess what? Every one of us can relate to crucifixion. We all know what suffering is. We all know what the problems are. And so you search for those resurrections, and certainly we have searched for those resurrections. When I look back on the last 7 years, and so we've done 7 years of podcasting. So we're starting our 8th year next week. I know this is always confusing because what we're doing is we're going to be celebrating our 7th birthday, right? Next week. Is that right? Yeah. See, people always say, well, you're starting your eighth year. And I always go through this with people from Armenia because that's how the countdown is in their culture. I've entered my eighth year. Well, are you 8 years old? No, I'm 7 years old. 7 years is the point of the birthday celebration, but you're starting your eighth year. So we are completing our seventh year right now. And I look back on that 7 years and, you know, a lot of things just like just shoot out at me. When you look at the changeover and the popes, when you look at what happened within the Armenian church, ecclesiastically, spiritually, as a group of people, when you look at the human condition where we were 7 years ago, I mean, just look at the advent of technology in the last, the advent of the new technology that has put basically a means to hear these podcasts in everyone's grasp. I mean, think about where we were 7 years ago. I mean, podcasting was kind of like this wild out there thing. And now it's just like a regular part of life. You know, you tune into a podcast, you have podcatchers, you have your iTunes, which makes it very easy to find a cast. And because of technology and smartphones, you don't have to record it. I remember the first few years we used to record CDs and pass out CDs and people would listen to it in their cars. Now you've got a smartphone and, you know, through the internet, through your Wi-Fi or through your mobile connection, you're able to get the next step and listen to it in your car being broadcast over by Bluetooth. I mean, think about all the things technologically that have changed in the last 7 years. Not only what's gone on in the world. And you know, I look back at some of the podcasts. I remember that first year, China was hosting the 2008 Olympics. And at the same time, we found out that it was one of the big sponsors of people in the regime that was perpetrating this genocide in Darfur. And we went out and we talked about it. I remember that first year, that Thanksgiving, we weren't expecting. We thought that, you know, we were a small show. And then all of a sudden, Apple featured us on iTunes. And next thing we know, we've got all kinds of listeners. And, you know, this quirky thing called podcast, it was starting to pick up. We've been to different podcasting shows. When I think about all the guests that we've had throughout the years, from clergymen, from people that are just on the front line against some of the evil in the world, and I think you know, this is really a beautiful thing that we have through which we're calling the next step. It's really, you're taking steps, but where is your next step? What is the next step? And you always have this wonder, where is my next step going to be? For me personally, it is it's still an unresolved issue. What is my next step? And maybe that's going to be something that has to change, you know, that you really don't know. You don't need to know what your next step is. How about taking, as Martin Luther King says, is taking that step of faith, not knowing where that next step is, you know, but you take that step anyway. And speaking of Dr. King, I mean, I think about all the years and the connections that we've done with different world leaders, and we haven't really stayed in that, in those boxes, those compartments. It always interests me because people will come up to me, oh, you're doing a podcast, oh, you're an Armenian priest. Well, what do you talk about? Well, we talk about the world. It's not just about the liturgy. It's not just about the divine liturgy. Certainly, we'll talk about the things that make us uniquely Armenian Orthodox, but don't forget that those are just means by which we express our faith, and our faith has to be something greater. So it's been a really wonderful ride. I want to thank all of you. You know, we started off with this little dream, a few prayers by my wife Susan, by my sister Anush. They said, yeah, you got to do this, kind of the push. Susie came along with this incredible amount of energy and love for this ministry and became the producer, producing each of the shows, each and every one of the shows diligently every week. And of course, Ken, our engineer, we've had our ups and downs with Ken. Yeah, don't look at me like that. Okay, we've had our ups and downs, but a wonderful person to have in the control room. And we have been broadcasting from just all kinds of places, Argentina, Armenia, from the Phoenix, right out in the desert. We've podcast from the desert communities. Anyway, it has been a fun run, and it's going to be a fun run. We're going into our eighth year next year. What I do every year on that anniversary, on this particular show, is kind of look at some of the things that we weren't able to talk about, and I want to share with you one particular story that caught my attention a few weeks ago. And I know there's so much to talk about. I'm really not go the path of Bruce Jenner. I know people have been talking about it. There has been a lot of people pointing fingers and talking about courage, about his new appearance on Vanity Fair. Let's not go there today, okay? I just don't feel like doing it, okay? Suffice it to say, I don't feel like doing that. We talk about courage. Courage, you know, when I think about within the context of Armenian Orthodoxy, the courage that we talk about, like through stories of Vartanants or the new group of saints talked about in the last few months, this new group of saints that we're getting to know, and their stories are unfolding in front of us. You know, when you talk about courage, it's very difficult for me to say that, okay, this man had a sex change operation and he appears on Vanity Fair and that's a courageous act. Yeah, okay, it's an act of some type of courage, but courage is really something even more. I remember the words of Eric Garcetti last year when they were commemorating the 100th anniversary at the Catholic Cathedral, and he got up and, you know, people were applauding Pope Francis's words of genocide, and he said, wouldn't it be beautiful at one point if we don't refer to that as courage, somebody speaking the truth? Why do we call that courage? Really, I mean, the man speaking the truth. He identified it as a genocide. That's the truth. How much courage does that take? Well, it's courage in the context of world situation and world politics, just as it was courageous of him yesterday, right? Yesterday he was with the Russian President Putin and talking about what's going on in the Ukraine. And, you know, these are world politics situations. And I've shared with you, you know, We got to look at it. We do live in a political world. We live in a world that is ruled by politics. But as a spiritual entity, as a spiritual people, people who really are composed not just of flesh and bones, but of a spirit and a soul, you have to look for something a little bit more. And there is a world, a beautiful world, that is filled with spiritual goodness and spiritual growth, just for the asking. So today what I thought I'd do, and by the way, I'm at the Apostle West. Ken just looked over at me, said, where are you broadcasting from? We are at Apostle West, and that's why you notice different microphone. I think it's a little bit better. I always like this microphone at the Glendale studio. What I'd like to talk to you about today is the 12 worst ideas in religion. This is Salon had put. Salon is a website that I do follow, and I like some of the controversial articles that are in there. But they had a piece just about a month ago. The 12 worst ideas religion has unleashed on the world: conflict, cruelty, and suffering, not love and peace. And so you're tuned into a podcast that talks about spirituality, Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today, Armadoxy. And certainly when we began this show 7 years ago, we had no idea what Armadoxy was all about. It kind of evolved, and I'm really excited about that, because every day that goes by, I'm realizing that we really have all of the key elements to put together the manual for Armadoxy. So, When I looked at this article, I thought, you know, this is something that I want to share with my listeners. So I'm going to do that in just a couple moments in the second portion of our show. And throughout those 7-8 years, we've always highlighted different artists on our music. So what I thought I'd do today for the song of the day, every week we have a beautiful song. I found this beautiful CD. It's Hovhannes Badalyan singing the Khachadur Avedisyan songbook. I know we got some Chachadur Avedisyan fans out there. So how about the Yerevani Jur, the water of Yerevan, especially because our seventh year of this journey has been inspired by that trip that we took to Mount Ararat last year, the pilgrimage to Ararat, both sides of Ararat, the cradle of civilization, the landing point of the Ark, the place where life begins. And then you have Yerevan Ichur, sang by somebody, well, unmistakably unmatched, like Hovhannes Badalyan. Here's Hovhannes Badalyan, Yerevani Chur, from the Khachadur Avedisyan songbook. Enjoy!
Ցերուն կյանքի տալիս մանուկ ծիծա Ուրն է մեղում ծիրը հարիկ ենք շանքով էր պա Շաղ է տալիս աղիքներին դարնում շատր պա Չէ ուրիշ է շատ անուշ է ջուրը դերեմա Երկո դարն է ջուրը դխմում ժպտում է ուրա Ասում է ջուր չեմ պեսել այս կան ջինջուպա Իսկ երբ անդուղ հային է խմում ասում է օխայ Այս տուջերին է կարոտում հեղվում ամեն հայ Շաղ է տալի սաղիքներին դարում շատ էրվա Չէ ուրիշ է շատ անուշ է ջուրը դերևա Հեյ ժանադուր շատ պաղես երևանի ջուր Հեյ ժանադուր Ես Երևանի ջուր, քո մեջ ամռան տակ արևն է ամեն օր խայթում, սիրա հարված աղջիկների նման է ժպտում, երջանկության ծիածան ես դարդում ամենում, դու զուլալ ես դու, պայծավ ես դու իմ կյանքերում, շաղ է տալիս աղիքներին դարդում շատ կրվան, չէ Չէ շատ անուշ է ջուրը դերևան Հեյ ժանադուր շատ պաղես երևանի ջուր Հեյ ժանադուր սի շաղես երևանի ջուր Շաղ է տալի սաղիքներին դարդում շատ դերևան Չէ ուրիշ է շատ անուշ է ջուրը դերևան Շաղ է տալի սաղիքներին դարդում շատ դերևան
From the Khachadur Avedisyan songbook, Hovhannes Badalyan, unmistakable voice. Yeah, it's a bit of classic stuff over here. I know. You get it all, don't you, right? You get some classic, you get some contemporary, you get all kinds of music when you follow the next step. I hope you enjoyed that one. It was just kind of celebrate this very special day. I will have a link on today's show notes so you can check out not only that song, but all of the beautiful work that Hovhannes Badalyan has produced and beautified our life with. You know, one thing that I always, the precepts of Armodoxy that I always talk to you about is, can we really look at the message of Christ and kind of remove some of the hoopla that goes along with it, some of the trappings? And I'm sure many people like myself were attracted to Armenian Orthodoxy because of those trappings. But unfortunately, what happens many times is we get caught up and we think that those trappings are what it's all about. And really those trappings, whether it's the icons, the candles, the beautiful hymns, the prayer, even the eloquent language, you start getting in there and you say, wow, this is beautiful. And, you know, the proverbial bridge. The Armenian Church, Armenian Orthodoxy, is this bridge that connects this world with the world to come, and or with the divine realm. And are we on this bridge for a reason, to get from one place to another place so that we can be spiritually satisfied? Or do we get on this bridge and then all of a sudden we're taken by the beauty of that bridge and we say, whoa, this is so beautiful, I don't want to get off this bridge? And too many times that happens as well. So I've been sharing with you this idea that can we really strip away some of those trappings and really find out the pure message, the pure message of love, of faith, of hope? Can we look at truth as something in and itself? And when St. Nerses Shnorhali says Jesus is the name of love, can we really take that love and put it into an equation where if A equals B and B equals C, can we say therefore A equals C? So when Jesus says I am the way, can we say love is the way? Can we say when Jesus says, I am the truth, I am the life, can we say that love is the truth, love is life? And once you start doing that, you see that you have a more global and universal appeal without minimizing the role of the Savior who's at the center, Christ being at the center of our faith. But that Christ now has a new meaning for us, not just as a person in history who is segmented or who is confined to that historical realm, so that we say, oh, he was an individual who lived in the first century. No, God is something that exists in every century, in every time zone, in every time-space reality. Yeah, time zone. Right? I mean, what's the difference? I mean, right now people in Australia have already lived through this day that I'm living. There's a new day over there, but we're in a different day over here. And these time zones are just extended to time-space realities, right? Whether it's a one day or a million years. When you look at the Armadox expression of God, it is that seventh letter of the Armenian alphabet, which is totality. The combination of earth and spirit and sky, you know, the three and four coming together and the seventh letter, E, the verb to be. God is, not was, not will be, God is. And so we bring it down and we realize that there's some very basic principles that we have to live by, the ones that Jesus really insists that we live by, and that's basically with love, with faith, with hope, believing, faith, and all of these things come together in our lives in different forms. They define who we are. But what about some of the negative realities? And that's what I wanted to share with you. This article caught my attention. It's the 12 worst ideas religion has unleashed on the world, and this is an on Salon, which is a website that talks about news, politics, entertainment. Let me share with you a couple of the ideas. It says, some of humanity's technological innovations are things we would have been better off without. The medieval rack, the atomic bomb, and powdered lead potions come to mind. Religions tend to invent ideas or concepts rather than technologies, but like every other creative human enterprise, they produce some really bad ones along with the good. What do you feel about that? On its face value, how do you feel about just that statement? Well, the author of this says, I've previously highlighted some of humanity's best moral and spiritual concepts, our shared moral core. Here, by way of contrast, are some of the worst. These 12 dubious concepts promote conflict, cruelty, suffering, and death rather than love and peace. To paraphrase Christopher Hitchens, who's a noted atheist, writer, speaker, they belong to the dustbin of history just as soon as we can get them there. And the first one, chosen people. The term chosen people typically refers to the Hebrew Bible and the ugly idea that God has given certain tribes of promised land, even though it is already occupied by other people. But in reality, many sects endorse some version of this concept. The New Testament identifies Christians as the chosen ones. Calvinists talk about God's elect, believing that they themselves are the special few. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that 144,000 souls will get a special place in the afterlife. And he goes on. By the way, I will have a link on today's show note to this article, so you can read it in its entirety. So, chosen people, that concept. Yeah, it's very... It's really divisive, isn't it? How about heretics? Heretics, kafirs, or infidels, to use the medieval Catholic terms, are not just outsiders. They are morally suspect and often seen as less than fully human. Yeah, heretics. And then what we present in Armadoxy is something quite different, right? You don't hear this too often in Christianity. About the idea of not judging. Yeah, Jesus says it, but we don't really talk about it too much, do we? And here it's identified as one of the worst ideas, the ideas of heresy. I know in the Armenian Church, one of my pet peeves, so to speak, is as every priest is ordained, there is a service of calling. And the bishop goes through a list of heretics. And the priest is supposed to renounce them. Well, guess what? Some of these heretics are long gone. But guess who's the only one who keeps them alive? The church. Ironically, because we pronounce their names, we're keeping them alive. Some of these people would have been long gone, forgotten about. But we keep them alive. Why? Because they are labeled as heretics. Holy war, number three, holy war. If war can be holy, anything goes. I like that statement. Blasphemy, number four. Blasphemy is the notion that some ideas are inviolable, off limits to criticism, satire, debate, and even question. Well, we're seeing this with intolerance towards people who would question religion. And, you know, I always enjoy just a good debate. I'm not expecting anybody to believe the things that I say, but I also expect at the same time that there will be some bit of decency in respecting that this is the way that I believe. I'm not cutting down anybody else, but this works for me. And the best way to make sure that it's working for somebody is to see what actions are being produced. And this is really one of the things about blasphemy, when we talk about blasphemy, that there are certain things that you cannot talk about. Well, what are those things? Isn't it healthy to talk about those things? Sundays after church, a lot of people come up to me and say, great sermon. Yeah, that's nice. But you know which ones I always remember? The ones that come up and challenge. Hey, you know, in your sermon you said this. What does that mean? There's a challenge there. It's an opportunity to talk. It's an opportunity to reflect. It's an opportunity to move forward. And no idea, really, in the human spirit should be beyond that inspection. Next one. Glorified suffering. Picture secret societies of monks flogging their own backs. The image that comes to mind is probably Dan Brown's novel, The Da Vinci Code, but the idea isn't one that he made up. And then goes on about glorified suffering. Well, yeah, it is a terrible idea, but I would even extend it a little bit more, you know, about how I said at the very beginning, right at the beginning of the show, about the Friday becoming a Good Friday. Well, you know, take it to its limit. It is, take it to its extent. And you see that there are problems with that. But always in perspective. Look at the whole perspective. That resurrection which really shines. Let's see over here. It says, the problem, of course, is the glorifying suffering. Turning it into a spiritual good has made people more willing to inflict it on not only themselves and their enemies, but also those who are helpless, including the ill and dying, as is in the case of Mother Teresa and the American Bishop and Children of the Child-Beating Patriarchy Movement. Now, I think this is really a ridiculous. You know why? Because it's not extended at this point. There's no explanation. It's just something thrown out there. So we'll just leave it at that, right? Genital mutilation. Well, yeah, they talk about some of the genital mutilation that takes place for the women. Think about men being circumcised. It is a biblical concept. And, you know, as they're finding out that, you know, no, you don't need to be circumcised to have a healthy life. I mean, they were trying to pin it with different kinds of diseases and everything. So genital mutilation is on this list. Blood sacrificed. Whoa, that's a big one, right? In the list of religion's worst ideas, this is only one that appears to be in its final stage. Only the Hindus and some Muslims sacrifice animals and so on. Hell. Here's a good one. This is one that I'm going to tell you the Armadoxy spin on this. Whether we are talking about Christianity, Islam, or Buddhism, an afterlife filled with demons, monsters, or eternal torture was the worst suffering the Iron Age minds could conceive and medieval minds could elaborate, invented perhaps as a means to satisfy the human desire for justice. Now, I'm in line with this. Yes, hell, we haven't explored the idea because all of our notions come from what we've been taught about these suffering, about the fires and the damnation. But think about it in different terms. Think about the Armadoc's expression of love being complete. And what would be a hell without that love? And so the opportunity to really think beyond the traditional images that have been given to us and really contemplate a hell being the absence of God, the absence of love. Karma, here's another one. Like hell, the concept of karma offers a selfish incentive for good behavior. Eternal life. To our weary and unwashed ancestors, the idea of gem-encrusted walls, streets of gold, and fountain of youth, or an eternally or angelic chorus, or sex and with virgins, may have seemed like sheer bliss, but it doesn't take much analysis to realize how quickly eternal paradise would become hellish. There's a fantastic, fantastic Twilight Zone episode that I want to steer you to. I will make a note right now. If it's on YouTube, there will be a link on today's show notes. Check that one out, okay? Check that Twilight Zone episode out. It stars Sebastian Cabot. And I won't even tell you. You're going to have to check it out. Because if I talk to you a little bit about it, you'll kind of guess the ending. It's a beautiful, beautiful episode. It talks about, well, heaven. Heaven! What is heaven? I'm just going to leave it at that, okay? Male ownership of female fertility. Of course, this is a big one today. Contraception, about abortion. And there's one called bibliotry, also known as book worship. Yay, count me in on that one, yes. Preliterate people handed down their best guesses about gods and goodness by way of oral tradition, and they made objects of stone and wood, idols and channels, their devotion, their notion of what was good and what was real and how to live in moral community with each other. And then it goes on to talk about this Bible. And I've shared that with you many times. You know, Christ has to be experienced beyond just words. Christ is an experience that is holistic. The Armadoc approach is not just reading a Bible. Reading a Bible is the breath of God. Sure, that's part of the formula. But true spirituality has to be above that. There is God at the center. God didn't give us a Bible. He gave us something so beautiful. He gave us His only begotten Son. This offer of sacrifice, this offer of learning, this offer of love. Christ didn't give us a Bible. He didn't write anything, but He gave us a church. This community that comes together, that helps one another, that extends their arms to one another. And in turn, it was the church that put together certain writings and called it a Bible. You have to always put it in perspective. So there you have it. That's your list of 12 ideas that weren't so hot, that aren't so hot. And you know what? I think each of these ideas, I would love to hear from you, each of these ideas gives us, I mean, each of these ideas presented in this article gives us an opportunity to really talk and explore our faith. And I'll be honest with you, I read this article, I read through them, and the more I read them, the more I am tied to Armadoxy. Because Armadoxy, as Susie says at the beginning of the show, you don't need to check your brain in at the door. No, it does require a little bit of reasoning, a little bit of faith, a little bit of understanding, of tolerance. It requires a holistic approach to life, that beyond the physical, there is the emotional. Through the years that we've been doing this podcast, The Next Step, we've really explored a lot of dimensions of faith. One of the things that really hit me was one day we were listening to some musical variations. And if I could put this together by next week, I'm going to try to share this with you too. But having an opportunity to listen to a piece by Beethoven and realizing that within it, I was feeling all kinds of emotions, including that agape love, including that filial love, including that erotic love, and realizing that love, we're the ones who have segmented it and put it into categories of this is agape, this is erotic, this is filial. And when you look at Christ's love, it's really a combination of all of them. It is pure love. It is erotic. It gets you so excited. It is at the same time agape. It doesn't end. It's just there for the taking. It is forever given and never consumed, never finished. And once we start thinking about these things and realize that we need to go outside of the box, you see that these ideas that we have a lot of times that really keep us apart from one another are really horrible ideas. Because our only hope in this world is in our ability to get along with one another. Religion doesn't have to be that means by which we separate. But in fact, through Armadoxy, as I've proven and I've shown to you and I've shared with you, Armadoxy gives us the tools, gives us the means and the language by which we can find that harmony and ultimately peace. We've been doing a show called The 100-Year Journey, and we're going to be winding that down. We're now at the Burbank Mall here in California. And we get all kinds of people that come by. And really, the strength of that show is that here's a group of people, Armenians, who've been living at the crossroads of civilization and really have no means, by today's standards, to really make it. There's no military power, no military strategy. But these people have not only survived, they've lived wherever they've gone. In their homeland, they've prospered. And really the basic element that is consistent is their love and their affection and is their ability to touch God. It is not in your traditional manner. It is in a very unique manner, one that Armenian Orthodoxy has expressed. And even when I say Armenian Orthodoxy, I'm scared because I know people will say, oh yeah, that's the church with the incense and the flowers and the candles. No, it's way beyond that. It is completely holistic and it requires us to touch it. It requires us to taste it. It requires us to feel it. It requires us to see it and to hear it together. And then it touches another sense. A sixth sense, so to speak, That sixth sense being the spirit, and that spirit is what connects us all. Not only as Armenian Christians, but it connects us as humans to be able to see that we are all God's children. And our only salvation here in this world is our ability to be in harmony with one another. And our only eternal salvation, the legacy that we leave, is in our ability to love others. I'm going to be back right after this announcement and share with you some final thoughts. Here's Susie to tell you what we're doing and how to get involved.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you, all of our listeners who have been very supportive, who make this all happen. I know today's show was kind of different, right? You don't expect to tune into a religious show and hear Guy talk about things that are wrong in religion, but, you know, that's part of what we do here. That's part of the next step, is this analysis of looking at ourselves, seeing ourselves, not as people who interact with religion, but becoming those ambassadors of faith, that ambassador of love, of understanding. I want to share with you that just this past couple weeks, we were able to put down some final figures from what we did on the April 24th weekend. I mean, when you think about all the people that were helped, about the thousands of dollars that was raised for humanitarian efforts, whether in Syria, in Darfur, and in Chad, in Armenia, in Australia, in Canada, in Sweden. When you think about all that, you realize that there is an underlying pattern to all of this, one that Armenian Orthodoxy, Armadoxy, talks about. It's basically to take yourself outside of the mold and walk in the shoes of others, to understand their pain, to understand their grief, their suffering, and in so understanding, to be able to deliver. Now, let me tell you this. We talked about some of the worst points of religion. Let me tell you, all of the hospitals, all of the schools that have been built because of religion. Let me tell you that In His Shoes, Armadoxy, it's all about the centrality of Christ. Christ as the manifestation of love, the manifestation of truth, the manifestation of hope. And when you look at His life, when you look at all the things, you put your feet in His shoes, you understand that there is a big world out there. And there's so much beauty in that world. And we can interact with that world at a very special level, at a unique level. It is a divine level. And it's your opportunity to be part of that. That's what we do here on The Next Step. We have finished 7 years of podcasting The Next Step. I hope it's been a good ride for you. I know it's been a great one for us over here. We've loved doing this. I got to tell you, sometimes it gets tiring. Sometimes I say, oh man, it's Thursday already. Get into that studio. I know for Susie, I got to do a big shout out for Susie and thank her, because diligently and consistently every week, she gets this file in her email box and she does her magic, putting it up on the websites, distributing it and getting it all over. I want to thank all of the people who made this happen. All of you, the donors, who have prayed for us, who have shared the content, who have picked up CDs and distributed CDs, who've been out there on the front line getting it in their email and listening to it, picking up every little word and then distributing it to friends and saying, hey, did you hear this? Look at what's being said over here. And sharing mostly yourselves with us. I thank you. And, you know, every Sunday I celebrate the Divine Liturgy. God has given me this beautiful opportunity. I remember you in my prayers, and I ask that you remember me as well as this ministry in your prayers. I'm going to end it with that today and ask you to join us throughout the week. We are at inissues.org. That's the mothership, the flagship. We also have presence on Facebook at inissues, at epostle.net. It's a really wonderful name. That's apostle with an E, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Wow. That puts us in another frame, doesn't it? The universe. Yeah, why not? It's big enough. It could handle all of us. And it's really, so far, we don't know of anybody else that's out there. So let's take claim to it and say, we're doing it, okay? And when we find out that there are other people, we'll revise it. Life is changing. Things do change. Hey, listen, I want to thank you for joining us today, as well as for the 7 years, or for whatever part of those 7 years you've been part of this family. Thank you very much, and God bless you. On behalf of Susie, our producer, on behalf of Ken, our engineer, and all the people in the background who have been praying with us, who've been supporting us, on behalf of Vadojan, who put together this beautiful intro and exit medley, this tune that we all enjoy and hop to, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join me again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your flashcard out! Off the one top limit!